This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Circa 1955. And if you've been curious about what this is, because we talked about it last year, we got a lot of new listeners though. It is a candle-based subscription service. You get, was it two candles that you get once a month, Circa 1955, that have specialty magical Disney-ish scents. So she sent many of them to us, Nicole did, who runs Circa 1955. And because of the outpouring you guys have done for her, she has an amazing business going on. And again, that's at circa1955.com. And what are some like the scents that you can smell?
She's done like Dole Whip and the Pirates.
Yeah,
we want the not redhead for Pirates like of the Caribbean.
Mickey Waffles.
We're not talking about your regular like Yankee Candle, Sea Island Cotton kind of stuff. We're talking specific
we're talking about
Disney flavors.
The water at the Pirates of the Caribbean, like
I
you
love
said.
That water one.
The lobby at Beach Club.
Yeah, so a lot of great ones. You don't know what you get, but she announces it, I think, before she ships them. It starts at $25 a month. And it's the happiest candle collection on earth. And that is at Circa 1955.
And if you're not thinking of subscribing, but want to keep in the know, you should also just go to her website, get on her mailing list, because she might have something coming up on the 4th of May.
Ooh, very nice. I wonder what that is. So you can find that out.
I bet it's an Indiana Jones scent. It smells like bullwhip leather.
Ooh, I would kind of like that.
On May the 4th.
Yep, circa1955.com. Great support of WDW Today, so go and support this great business. Again, circa1955.com. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, April 19th, and this is episode 1560.
And that's another milestone, folks.
1560 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we have a really interesting show coming on today. And
that's for you to suggest and them to decide.
Well, I think it's interesting. I've had fun doing my research and discussing it. We're doing kind of, it was somewhat suggested in our producers club to do a dining one. We've done a lot of dining ones, so we're cool. How can we get more specific and do something a little different? So today we're doing a progressive dinner throughout Walt Disney World. So if you're unfamiliar with what that is. So what we did, and look, we may have done something similar to this before, and other people have done it, but it's something fun for us. So we picked a cocktail, an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert all throughout Walt Disney World, almost if you were picking your dream meal in some ways, a best of the best if you want to. Or not the best of the best, just you want to make sure they complement each other and you have a good meal. So we've decided to do this. Again, if a progressive dinner, if you're not familiar with that, and where you'd typically in church, you'd go home to home.
Right.
So you go to different people's houses for different courses. Now, have you ever hosted the progressive meal?
No, I've been to one.
I know. So my question is, if you're the host, what else do you eat? Do you then go?
Yeah, when you're the host, you get shortchanged, especially if you're dessert.
Because you're not like going then to your house.
No.
Yeah, you stay at your house and then order pizza.
Yeah, this is a bummer.
But it's kind of a cool idea, except for with those, you don't get to pick what you eat.
Right. When I was
you're just given things. Like, here's the meatloaf.
I may or may not have subjected youth group children to this as a youth pastor before. I was always kind enough to give my hosts a gift card to then take for the couple to go out to dinner.
High Roland Weaver here.
That's what we've always called him.
No, I think that's a very nice thing to do. But
and
by the way, if you want to send us gift cards, because I'll send you a PO box.
If you, but we decided to do this because Keith in our producers club said he wanted a food show. He didn't specify what he wanted in the food show. He just said, "I want a food show."
Said,
so
okay.
We came up with this.
And maybe he did specify.
Maybe he did.
Sure.
We just forgot. So for those. What exactly is the Producers Club if somebody wants to be a part of it?
Sure. Producers Club is $10 a month, $5 to be a part of our Patreon group. Just in general, you get a new live show every week. And we do that. We just got done doing it live with a group of people watching and interacting. It was a lot of fun. You can get all those archives still if you go join at patreon.com/WDW today. But the $10 option, which is obviously a more select group, they meet with us once a month through a Facebook group. And we do a live chat and a live feed, and we discuss what the next four episodes are of the show going to be. And that's barring any breaking news or anything like that. So for $10 a month, you get to really help shape what this show is each and every week. It's really fun for us because we get a better idea of what you guys want. So let's kick off this Producers Club suggested topic and start with the progressive dinner. So first, we got cocktails.
Yeah, we're going to start with the cocktails, which
start with Will.
Not at the youth group edition.
It's not.
You may have some like
Episcopals
ginger ale punch with high C.
So let's start out. So the king of the cocktails, Will Haynes.
Of course, I think you got to start this right by going to Trader Sam's Grotto, and getting the which is the
big giant one.
Big giant.
Share it with some friends.
You're not letting me finish my sentences, Lowe.
I'm sorry. I'm too excited.
Big giant. Share it with your friends. It's a cocktail that comes in a big bowl. They light it on fire. You have little like cinnamon that you throw on it and it sparks up. And it's a shareable cocktail. It comes in a very unique bowl. It's one of the more unique cocktail beverages you can get at Disney because of its presentation. There's always the fun chant. The lights flicker and everyone chants, oh, ow, oh, ow, oh, ow. And then you drink it. And it's good. So I say start off with a bang. Because you're throwing cinnamon into fire.
I don't know if I agree. I love Trader Sam's. I feel like it's more of like an after dinner place.
Well,
in my opinion, it's loud. Okay. It's
I like
very
that.
Sweet.
I like that as your appetizer. Okay.
It's good. I don't disagree.
Okay. Well,
I agree.
Then what do you think?
I think I'm gonna go with. I just had a moment because you made me think of something else, but I had La Cava down.
Oh.
To do a tequila flight.
Ooh, I like that idea. That's a good idea.
Smooth, something to start, not too sweet, but sweet enough. Mm-hmm. I would say in the same vein, you go to Rose and Crown and have a whiskey or scotch flight. So I like that more pre-gaming mentality. A little bit more on the chill side. But
a little classier.
Yeah. And then, of course, you could just, after you've had your flight, you can do the Will Longa special. Then you walk over. You really enjoy the Grand Fiesta Tour. And so yeah, that's my
the problem
choice.
With going to Cava is I'm probably not going to leave Cava, and that defeats the purpose of the progressive dinner.
All right. So yeah, if we had to go this actually like jumping around, I'm the least efficient.
Oh, mine's horrible. Like I didn't map this out very well.
You're going to have to Uber this if you try it.
Yeah. All right.
Which, strangely enough, Disney's creating their own Uber?
Yeah. I think it's a good
interesting
idea
to see how it works, because I would probably take advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I had Trader Sam's down as well. But I have a backup, and if my go-to drink would be the tiki rum
at Trader Sam's. Why is not the tune-in lounge for you, something like that?
Yeah, but I'm gonna go classy at the suggestion of the king of cocktails himself. I'm gonna go parlor trick at Abracadabar.
Ooh, good job! I like that.
Which is the old-fashioned cocktail that celebrates old-fashioned magic. It's four roses, small batch, with simple syrup and a splash of soda water. Cool. I had that. On a recent trip and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Sounds
it's
good.
Completely the opposite of Trader Sam's.
Well,
as far as like
see,
layback.
I think as far as my thought was, I would rather have the loud kind of amp early. You up to go on this journey early. And I would love that as like an after dinner drinks place. So although I think Logan wants something more chill at the beginning, so that would be a good place to do that.
All right, cool.
I mean, there's no rule against skipping dinner altogether and just doing the first portion.
There is a rule if you're doing a progressive dinner.
Yes. Okay. There are rules.
So this is not nom.
There are rules. All right. Appetizer. So I started first. You don't want to start? You want me to start?
No, again. I started first.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so I'll start this one. You recently heard me talk about this, so I'm going to go with the bone marrow.
Dadgummit.
The California Grill, which is probably one of my favorite things I've eaten on property. Beyond just appetizer, it's if you can get past the true barbarianness of it, which is you are scraping out of a bone the marrow in the middle
and then
of it.
Using it as a butter almost.
Right, it's spreading
out
a cracker bread thing. It's amazing. And the amazing taste. And it's one of those things that you can find it places, but it's not as readily available.
Right.
In restaurants in the country.
Yeah.
Much less in Walt Disney World.
So. Never had it.
Well, that was mine, so I'll just go ahead and talk about it before we pitch to you. But I like that so much when we had it. It is a unique thing. It's a treat. We're more adventurous, like eaters in general. So I think that's maybe why that was a fun idea.
Because it comes in the boat. Like there's a bone. Clearly, it's been sort of
full on Flintstone style in the bone.
Yes, but very
like
nice.
Sawn in half.
Really? Yeah. Sawn in
lengthwise.
Half. And you scrape it out like butter.
I would say, though, if you're not into that specifically because of the barbaric nature of it, they also have a really good charcuterie platter. So you can get some cured meats and, you know, have a glass of wine with that, do something, kind of continue that before you move on your main course.
One thing they did change with the bone at Marrow, which is now on top of it this last couple weeks, they put like a, a steak, almost a meat on top of it as well. Mm. I wasn't a huge fan of that.
Okay.
It tastes good, but I actually prefer
like a little tenderloin? Is that what it was?
Kind of like strips of meat or almost ground beef on top. I prefer just the marrow. So
straight marrow.
So I would eat that later or put it to the side, but I like the marrow. Like you said, like butter. I think that's probably maybe people were complaining. Is that sort of consistency? But yeah, so that's mine.
So apparently I'm meeting Logan, a California girl, for
that's
my
good. I'm all in.
So I love the spicy Kazan roll, which is a, if you've ever seen it, it's kind of like, it's almost stacked like a volcano roll is.
Okay.
And it's got the spicy, they call it fireball sauce. And then it's got little mini scallops kind of drizzled on top of the roll. It's fantastic.
All right.
I enjoy that.
I have not had that specific one, but I've had many sushi options. They're pretty good there.
That's one that the first time I went, the server, I said, what are your top three rolls? We'll get them and split them. And that was one of the ones.
Yeah.
Used to be that, and they used to have a roll called the snake in the grass, but they stopped doing it because they couldn't find
enough snake.
It was eel. Ah. They couldn't find a properly sourced eel.
Gotcha. So,
but I love the spicy Kazan.
All right.
And I'm with you the last time. I think it's time for a little update. It's time for at least a new carpet at California
new
Grill.
New carpet, new upholstery.
Yeah.
We need it. It's
time for a soft refurb.
Yes. Close it for a week and get it done. All right.
Next, Terry, you want to lead this one off for the entree section?
I just had this on my last trip for the first time, but the Wagyu beef strip loin and short ribs at Tiffin's.
Ooh.
Sounds great.
A lot of us are getting similar themes here.
It is the... I consider myself to be a Disney foodie. I love this idea of a show. Hands down, if not the best, no questions asked, are the top three things I've eaten at Disney, including definitely it's probably the best at Disney World. Napa Rose might give it a little run for its money on the West Coast, but
yeah, there's a couple things. I almost went Disneyland and I stopped myself.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, and this
can't
is just,
it. You can't progress to yeah, the, no. This may be impractical what I have, but yours is impossible.
It's theoretically possible.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah. If you haven't been to Tiffin's, take the risk, go try the menu. You won't regret it.
What's the risk of going to Tiffin's?
Well, it's, you look at it, I mean, every time I think of Tiffin's, I'm like, I can't believe that this is in a theme park.
Yes, it's a very good restaurant.
I do fear that possibly this might be on the chopping block as a Club 33 location.
Ah, interesting, right outside of Avatar. We even talked about that. Maybe we can talk that at the very end of the show.
Because.
Yeah, it has that vibe.
And the, yeah.
And the what? What's this?
The lounge area would be very, it was the Nomad Lounge.
Yeah.
It just has that, like, it almost feels like it's Club 33 already.
It does. It has that, like the one in California Adventure.
Yeah.
It has that vibe.
I would say that you should also go to Tiffin's.
Okay.
But I would say get the,
I would also go
get
to
the Berkshire pork tenderloin. Berkshire pork is a heritage breed of pork. So it's high quality pork.
Top-notch
pork. It is. It really is. And so it is a delicious. It has a mole sauce, which, you know, a lot of people may not like mole. It's a pretty distinct flavor.
What does it taste like for those who don't know?
Earthy. A little bit of cocoa.
Chocolatey.
Yeah. But not like sweet chocolate, like bitter, earthy chocolate. So there's
my wrestler name.
Bitter earthy chocolate.
Easy.
And then there's a hominy succotash with it. So it's a really delicious dish.
All right. I like that one. So I'm going to stick with the meat category, but I'm going to take us over to Epcot, to La Cellier.
So you left,
I left
Epcot to go to California Grill and then go back to Epcot.
Yes. And that may continue on. So I then go and you can take the monorail though from all these places.
Yeah.
So that's actually, hey, that's a point I didn't know I was making. And you know what? I just made it so hot in your face, including everywhere. So, La Cellier, you can go with a filet mignon. Some AAA Canadian Timberline.
Yeah.
Truffle butter sauce.
Ooh,
top
the
notch.
Truffle butter.
Had a great experience every time I've had it. It's one of the more, and they have a lot of new options and everything, and they've gotten rid of some of the stuff that I really like there. And they would get some hate. People said it's not worth it. I mean, it is a $54 steak, which is not horrible. And
does it still come with the mushroom risotto? What do they say that's coming with?
Still with the mushroom risotto. Okay. There's a lot of other great options you can have there, but that's a that's one that I tend to enjoy.
I think Disney does steak well.
Yeah,
they get high quality beef, and you can, like you said, you're paying a premium. You're paying like, you know, palm prices, but you can get a good steak.
It's really great theming in there too. I really like it. Feels not like you're in Walt Disney World. I like the light up menus. Just sound like we're in Walt Disney World. But I like it in general. I think it's a good vibe.
I love how small it is, and it's not super massive.
No,
it's, restaurant.
It's cool, and it's easy to get to if you are going through the International Gateway specifically. It's just right there,
and it's right at the front if you're coming from the front gate. So,
yeah, if you're going from the side, yeah, it's not bad. So, that's probably my that's my entree. So, all right, should we move on now? Now is dessert it? Are we already to the grand finale?
Dessert, yeah.
Now, have y'all been to La Salle recently, last year or two?
Yeah. No. I went in January.
How was it?
Fantastic.
All right.
What'd we
it's been a while. It's been a couple of years since I've been.
We split. We had my mother-in-law with us, and I really wanted her to kind of experience because she lives in Canada.
You're and, like, hey, let's travel here. I mean, just like home.
Just like home. Well, she lives right by the gardens that those gardens are based on.
Oh, cool.
In Victoria there, so... Yeah, I think we got two different kinds of steaks. Maybe I think I got the filet, and they splitted something like the strip loin.
Yeah, there's also like the two. There is one that that serves two, which is it's like a bone in ribeye or something.
And then because it was her birthday,
the porterhouse steak for two, which is $120.
Well, yeah, we definitely didn't do that.
And blue cheese fondue, crispy onions. I may be changing to that one.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Made lobster of some word I don't know. Foyat.
And then they brought her the kids' dessert as a free dessert, the chocolate mousse, which is actually a chocolate mousse with mousse antlers.
Is that because she was from Canada?
No, it's just because it was her birthday, and they bring you a free dessert if they know it's your birthday.
Fair enough.
So we're always wearing that button.
As she was wearing that button, that's true.
Are we at dessert now?
We are there. We've made it there. So let's take it easy on dessert and chill out. Who wants to start with dessert?
Terry, how about you start?
I didn't entree, but I'll happily start with
dessert. Okay, Logan, you start.
I'm not scared.
All right, I'll start. Mine is, I made two, because one's unobtainable, really. I don't believe. Maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong. So I went with the Ohana Banana Foster's bread pudding as my favorite dessert that I have. And I've had a bunch of different ones. I just feel like this caps off this meal quite well. I like that one. It's a sweet little ending. Can I get that? You can't go to Ohana just for dessert, can you? No. Because you couldn't even order when you go to Ohana. So... That is my favorite.
So that's like the dream, but it's not
unobtainable.
Really semi
unobtainable. I'm just going to go with Mickey ice cream sandwich in the parks. I'm going to walk out La Salle, get my Mickey bar.
Get your Mickey bar, walk around.
And watch Illuminations.
It's funny how similar sometimes our thought processes are, because I almost said go in and get a churro in the park, but I changed it. I decided actually to go back to Epcot, go to Tutto Gusto, the wine cellar in the... Italy Pavilion, and get either a cannoli or tiramisu or one of each.
Yeah, why not?
It's very good.
It's a good call.
Love that place.
Yeah, it's really good. So enjoyed some there on Terrible Food and Wine Day.
Our Food and Wine Day from the 100 Degree Food and Wine Day, we went there.
Right.
Was that your answer?
Yeah, that's what I said. Okay, go to Tutto Gusto and get the
Is it the wine? The wine bar is called Tutto Gusto. It's the...
Yeah,
it's
kind of Gusto in between wine cellar.
The entrance to Via Napoli and the...
You just kind of go straight.
Right, but it's on the left.
On the left, yeah. I love that. It's just a great... If you can get in and get a table, and a lot of times... I mean, during Food and Wine, it was crowded, but most of the time, no one's there.
Yeah, I mean, we only waited probably 10 or 15 minutes, though. We waited less time to get in there out of the heat than we did to stand in any lines. So, yeah, well, that's my answer.
I've got one that's normally unattainable year-round, and then I've got another one, because these two are kind of tied for me.
All right.
The Butterscotch Creme Brulee at California Grill is absolutely fantastic. Yes. They only have it a few months of the year.
Yes, I've had that before. Very good.
Disney does do the creme brulee and every variety, you know, the mango creme brulee, but I just love the butterscotch. The other one would be the almond-crusted cheesecake at Narcoossee's.
Ooh.
Which is... There's no, like, crust to it. It's just sugar-coated, like, roasted almonds on the edge.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
And then it's got, like, a fresh, like, raspberry puree. It is...
I'm a cheesecake connoisseur.
I would say it's one of the best cheesecakes I've ever had.
All right. Well, maybe I haven't had a number of years. I've been in Arcusa. Here's sort of the problem, and I will say I preach the off-property maybe a little too much, is I don't really venture out to that many restaurants more than I'd like to. Like, it's been years since I've been to Sana'a or years since I've been to any of those options. There's ones that I really like. I just find myself eating in the parks and then occasionally doing a character dining or something like that at a hotel. So, and then eating around Orlando. I think Will and I were talking about this the other day. The big positives and negatives you guys have, even as listeners to us, is that Will and I grew up in Orlando.
Right.
So we have this, I love Orlando and I love Disney, but I do love Orlando. So it, when looking at things I do on my trips, often it's not Disney, and not because I have a distaste for something that Disney offers. It is because I'm somewhat a local and there are things that I want to go to because they are my local places that I used to eat or something like that.
I mean,
that.
You went to college there, so you're college. Used to.
Yeah, I went to college there. I worked there for a number of years. So, like, I lived there, and I lived off and on there for years and years before. And Will lived there for a number of years, probably 10-plus years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit harder for us sometimes to remember, oh, yeah, we've done better since we started the show. We need to try out other options, start going to some more restaurants, because it's this, if we don't stay on property, or if we do, we're hitting the parks, we're hitting the new stuff, we're not doing as much dining. So that's actually one of my goals. It's a good goal to have in the next couple of years, is to try to spend more time diving deeper into some of these restaurants. Because the ones I listed here today are restaurants I've eaten at for years.
Right.
They aren't some of the brand new ones. So, I mean, that's kind of it.
Yeah, and the flip side of that is you guys have kind of encouraged me to try some of the places. Yeah. I would have never known about the Columbia House Salad and stuff. Right, I mean, yeah. And that's just... I mean, that's literally on Disney property still,
right, yeah.
In Celebration. So it's been good to try for me to get a little off property and start to experience.
Right. And it's something that we need to work better towards. And I think it's something that I love. And again, we talked this, I love Orlando as much as I love Disney World in some weird ways. Because again, it's like my hometown. If people ask where I'm from, obviously I'm here in Nashville. If you ask where I was from, probably before that, I was probably from Orlando because I spent a good number of my formative years there. I learned to drive there. So that's why I kind of feel like that's where I'm from. I know that better than I know most cities. I did want to touch on a couple different things before we go to listener questions. One was, you mentioned the Club 33 thing. There's not a whole lot of information other than it's confirmed. It's coming all four parks, Walt and Lillian themed each one based on the travels they've been to. And we don't know really much more than that. I mean, they pretty much said people have always wanted it. We're going to do it. There's going to be one in each park. We do know that it's not retroactive, or it's not a, what have you?
It's not a dual membership.
It's not a dual membership. You're not going to be able to get. However,
although they're going to offer
right.
a dual membership,
and I think honestly, it's probably going to be one of those perks that, like, yeah, you're not technically a member, but here's a day pass.
Do you think it's going to kind of ruin it?
I don't know if they've necessarily. Here's my thoughts. I will consider joining. I sent an email in. It's definitely on my list of things I would love to do if it is what I hope it is. I loved the original Club 33. I don't think it's going to ruin it as much as I think the refurb or the rehash of Club 33 kind of ruined what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which is, it's no longer what it was.
Right. I feel like I really wish that Club 33 were still highly secretive in California. Like, I wish as many people that have gotten to go in the past couple years, because I feel like a lot of people, like, now you know tons of people that have gone.
Right.
Like, yes. Both of you have gone.
Right.
So I feel like that, when that started happening, now I'm happy that you guys got to experience it, but I feel like when that kind of deluge of people being able to start getting in kind of took away a little bit of the mystique already.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But I still think that I wish this were maybe on the model of Club 33, but had a different name.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
I've been to both versions with two different members. They graciously invited me to go. I went to dinner at the original, which breaks my heart that the next time I went, I sat in the elevator that I rode up to the as a booth, because that was the corner we went. We went with actually some good friends to the lounge the next time we went.
Mm.
And I miss the original. But the lounge is something that I would use all the time. If I was a member, the lounge of the new Club 33 is done super well. It's the kind of thing you want to go and hang out in. So I'm excited about the possibility of having those in the parks. I hope they still do one that's actually a restaurant, not just a lounge.
Yes.
I hope that they still, if all you're basically getting is a membership to four bars, I don't know that it'll quite have. So I'm hoping they're still going to.
I hope it's not that.
Yeah.
Because at that point, why not just have...
Why not just go to La Cava?
Or expand the access to some of the DVC bars.
Yeah.
Like, why not just make Top of the World...
Also Club 33?
Right.
Yeah, I think there's a couple levels thinking it. I think you're right. I think I'll enjoy the new lounges and the new things they built for Club 33. But you're right that it's not... The mystique is gone.
Yeah.
The history is kind of gone. That doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it's not what it was.
Exactly.
So I would still consider joining, depending on what the offers are. I'm sure it's going to be outrageously expensive, so that's also going to obviously be a huge factor in what the initial cost is and what the yearly cost is. But I would consider it. If they offer a corporate membership, I'd certainly consider it. But we'll just see. We'll see what happens with it. I'm excited that they're offering something. I like the new offerings. Even though they're more money, I like that they are getting creative with new offerings. I've been a big preacher of that. So we'll see.
The, you know, everybody harps on the membership.
Yeah.
That it's so much money. The initial buy-in is significant. The normal, the every recurring one, at least at Disneyland, considering you get a legit number of platinum both coast passes.
Yeah.
You get, I think they currently get, depending on the kind of membership, they get between 4 and 8 VIP all day tours. So to be able to have those kind of, and the cost of membership is somewhere about the same as that. That pays for itself almost.
Right. Yeah.
So and then they get
if you're using
and they get, I think, automatic fast passes as well every time they're in the parks with
There's
with
a lot of perks.
Right.
A lot of also unlisted perks.
Right.
So let's just see. Let's just see how it rolls out.
Well, but that's also hopeful. My big question is if it's big enough for it to make a difference for Disney.
Yeah.
As far as how many people they let in. Is it, I mean, obviously it's still exclusive because of the buy-in point, but if they don't limit it to be exclusive, does it lose some of its fantasticness and also what they can give you as far as perks? But also on top of that, does it, I don't know, it just kind of feels like it, if it's a, oh yeah, there's unspoken perks and all these things, but if a ton of people have it, those aren't going to really necessarily still exist.
I think you're going to see a lot of the travel agency owners buying it. And giving it to their, you know, VIP members.
Right, exactly, though. But that's that almost causes my prediction of
and a lot of them do that now.
It being harder. Well, exactly. That's why a lot of these people have been able to get in. But I'm just saying if that gets expanded even more, I feel like you're going to start losing the unspoken perks, such as going on a VIP tour and then being able to get you on at the front of the ride because it's more heavily policed, because it's a bigger pool of people.
Understood.
That's just my fear, you know.
Yeah, if it's the VIP tour equivalent, then it's garbage. So
right, and that's what we learned from you. So
we'll see. We'll just see how it goes.
What else happened last week? The Star Wars,
the Galactic Spectacular, whatever the Galactic Night, the evening.
Oh, the evening. We heard lots of good things about. Everyone, no, like the announcement of the fact that Star Wars, your experience in Star Wars Land, is going to change based on the decisions that you make.
Right.
And it's going to somehow be tied to your magic.
Yeah, we'll see how that works. And also, they announced there'll be real lightsabers. That's been one of the big things.
Oh, you'll be able to participate in a lightsaber, a lifelike lightsaber battle. I think is the line.
Well, yeah, they said. No, I mean, they specifically said lightsabers are real. We have real lightsabers, and we've created them, and they're going to be here. Now we know what that means. I know it has something to do with the fact that there'll be drones that shoot at you or shoot at the cast members, and they can actually real time deflect like laser blasts. Which is very cool. We'll just see how a lot of this I feel like is talk, and we'll see what it actually looks like. So it all actually right now it's all talk.
Right. But, all of the pictures look amazing. I'll give them that.
Yeah, and I think so. So I'm excited about it. I wish they announced more stuff at Celebration. I feel like it was a little bit of here's stuff that's awesome, but we're not gonna tell you what.
I think they're saving all of these things. I think you're gonna see at D23, I think you're gonna see the final that'll be your final big announcement for it this year. I think you're gonna see
got 2 years still, so I'm not sure. It's 2019.
Did they give it an open net or just a year?
Just 2019. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. D23, I'm sure they'll announce something. All right. Should we move on to listener questions?
I think we should.
All right. Before we get to listener questions, I do want to tell you guys about the two offerings that we have here going on right now at WDW Today for your listeners. Number one, we have the Patreon group. So if you're not a part of that, you heard us talk about it. You heard that before. It's $5 to $10 options. I'm not going to go into a lot of details. We get a new exclusive show every week. WW Today, just on Patreon, patreon.com/WW Today. Another thing we have going on is the Pod Cruise, and that is WW Today is going to be there. So the three of us, you got BLT Lunch Break, You got Scare Zone, which again, I'm on all three of those. Then you got the podcast, Will's
podcast.
On, and some others. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's on the Norwegian Epic. The Ears of Steel podcast will be there, which is just Bart Scott. We're going to all be there doing live shows. So we have blocked out time in these cool lounges that they've given us. It's on the Norwegian Epic. It is next March. It is only $50 right now to reserve your room. Here's the deal. That doesn't last very long. We only have about 3 weeks left to get you booked. And $50, it's fully refundable. And it's fully refundable for a while. But to get that locked in rate, just $50, get down today if you want to join us. March 7th through 10th of next year, again, on the Norwegian Epic, sailing out of Port Canaveral. You can find all the details on podcruise.com. Feel free to ask me any questions. I'm happy to answer as much as I can or get you in touch with people at Ahoy Cruises to help put this on.
Ahoy.
It is again, podcruise.com. And join us on the seas. Will's going to be there. Terry's going to be there. I'm going to be there. A lot of us are going to be hanging out, enjoy us and the other podcasts that will be on there. And we're going to be stopping in Nassau and stopping at their own private island, as well as just partying on the boat with so many different options. Great exclusive things that we can offer our group include an all-you-can-drink, essentially, package, ultimate drinking package, things what they call it, or ultimate beverage package, which includes all your alcoholic beverages if you want that. There's also premium eating options. There's also premium room upgrades. There's $50, you know, there's a lot in the casinos. So lots of different options you can join. You can find all of that, again, at podcruise.com. Again, please, if you are considering going, and I'll just be honest with you guys, if you consider going, we need to know to block out enough rooms. We only have the rooms blocked for a couple weeks, and we need to make sure we have enough space for everybody. So if you want to do it, this is sort of the one of the last chances in the next couple weeks to join us at this locked-in rate. And again, that's at podcruise.com. Now it's on to listener questions with the good man, Lynn Testa.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, Harrison wants to know, best way to do WDW in 4 days. Should we do park hopper or no park hopper?
Well, you probably wouldn't want to park hop on your Magic Kingdom. Yeah, but you would want to park hop. Here's why. I think my ultimate schedule, at least for now, is this. Day at the Magic Kingdom, day at Epcot, half a day at the studios. Like, I mean, especially if you go on a morning extra magic hour, you're done by noon, seeing all the good rides. Go to the Animal Kingdom, spend the rest of the day at the Animal Kingdom. And then save your fourth day to repeat whatever park you found most interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. And being someone who just, I mean, the problem you have with really with Animal Kingdom right this second and Hollywood Studios is like, I didn't even get our kids into them. Like neither of them we decided because they really wanted to do Magic Kingdom in this last trip. And we had someone who had never gone to Walt Disney World with us before. But they loved the Magic Kingdom so much that we went back to Magic Kingdom twice. Mm-hmm. And they were only there for 3 nights. And that was it. We didn't do, because the Hollywood Studios, a lot of them couldn't hit the height restrictions yet and didn't want to do big thrill rides. And it didn't seem like it was worth the money at that point. And same thing happened with, now Epcot I would have liked to have done, but again, just time was interesting. So I would agree with that. If you're going to do all parks, that's an awesome way to do it. Terry.
Our hotel bookings at WW for the summer are still soft. The meager summer discount doesn't reek of desperation on Disney's part. What does this mean for Pandora? What about other projects going forward if Avatar doesn't bring in the expected crowds?
So I talked to somebody in the media this week about Pandora and the soft bookings, and they said, you know, the concern with Pandora opening has always been that it doesn't have the fan base of Harry Potter.
No.
And but basically what they said is it's gone from a wet your pants scenario, like I'm scared, to where are the adult diapers scenario. Nice. In the last couple of weeks, because they're not seeing the bookings on it. Now there are a couple of things that are helping Disney. Number one is, if you look at how much hotel capacity they've taken out of inventory and converted to DVC over the last few years, that's definitely helping with their occupancy rates a lot. DVC occupancy rates are generally, you know, 90% above every day.
That's if crazy when you actually think about that.
No, it is. It's insane. It's like a money printing machine.
Right.
But I think there is some real concern on their parts about it that, you know, if this thing doesn't hit, or, you know, if the word of mouth is less than spectacular for it, what are they going to do? I mean, they've got Toy Story next year, but Toy Story is just sort of a...
Well, I mean, it's so much in the park already with Toy Story. I don't feel like... And yes, there'll be additional stuff, but I feel like people have had a pretty large Toy Story presence. It's not Star Wars or Potter. It's not even Avatar. It's something. And it's an addition. It's not something new.
Yeah, and I don't know how they're going to spin off, Toy Story sequels or anything like that. By the way, shout out to Don Rickles.
Very sad.
Mr. Potato Head. But so I don't know what they're going to do there. But I think. I think Disney's concerned about it. Will we see sales, or discounts on it? I think it's a little early for that. Maybe you'd see something after Memorial Day once they see what their summer bookings firm up to be. But I'm very interested to see Pandora right now. I've heard that basically the 1,500 people that were working on Pandora have all moved on to Star Wars experience. Every time I say Star Wars experience, I think Jimi Hendrix experience, and there's a completely different soundtrack playing in my mind. Uh-huh. But the people that are left are basically trying to get the land ready for opening using duct tape, shoestrings, and chewing gum. No joke. I've heard from a friend of a friend that there may be lighting effects that involve flashlights from Target.
Mean by the bioluminescence?
This is what we need to do to get it done. We'll fix it later on. Yeah, that's tough.
The bioluminescence is actually leaky battery acid from generic batteries that they're having.
Now, that being said, I've heard from some of the tech people and some of the stuff they are bringing. Like, here's the weird part about Avatar is I'm more excited about the tech and the things they're bringing to the table more than I am about the park. And I can tell you this, and we've said this before, is Avatar is not Harry Potter. And in the essence of, I know plenty of people. Probably hundreds of people that made the voyage to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
I thought you were saying I know hundreds of people that love Avatar.
No,
like Logan.
I know maybe a dozen people that love Avatar. None of them are like, I'm going day one. They're like, I got to go this year. But they're not. It's a different level of fandom. We've discussed that ad nauseum. But I don't know how they didn't see that coming.
I think Disney panicked when they saw the success of Harry Potter. They hadn't bought Star Wars. There's only a certain number of big name directors with the IP and franchises to do that. Among them was the Marvel, what they got. Peter Jackson with Lord of the Rings, which would not make a great theme park.
Not now.
And James Cameron, and that was it. So they were like, we'll lock them up. We'll do a small land and see how it goes. And then we'll go from there. And I think that was
how big is it?
It's relative to something else we've
seen. Like, is it the same size as a Magic Kingdom land? Is it the same size as is there a relative connection? No, people aren't disappointed in how big the thing's going to be.
I would say it's roughly the size of Asia, I guess.
Okay.
It's fully taking up all of the land that was Camp Mini-Mickey.
Gotcha. So it's a decent size.
Yeah, two rides and a restaurant. It's comparable to what in terms of entertainment, what Universal did with either of the Harry Potter.
Okay. Which is pretty expansive.
When you said Asia, my mind went to the China Pavilion in Epcot, and I was just like, oh, this is going to fail. That's real small.
They got the one theater.
It's like, where are they going to put the rides?
All right. Let's move on. All right. Am I next?
Yeah.
Sean. Is that who's next? Yeah. Sean says, for the first time Christmas party attendees. So we're going a little early on Christmas here, but that's good. First time Christmas party attendees. Should we arrive at 4 p.m. or do the activities only start at 7? That's two different questions. But should they arrive at 4 p.m.?
I would. You can make your fast passes reservation starting at 4 with your ticket. Yeah, get some rides. Exactly. Get some rides knocked out. Then spend your party time focusing on those things that are party specific. The entertainment, the food, the atmosphere. You know, Magic Kingdom will be there, 6 months from now. The party only comes around for 50 or 60 days.
Party only comes around half the year.
I was trying to play it straight through the entire thing.
I understand. But, I'm sorry.
There's a follow-up question to this that we can probably answer in the same one. Then what's the better value, the not-so-scary or the very merry?
It's probably largely debated. But, I'll let Lynn – y'all know how I felt about not-so-scary this year. So
I like the Halloween party better. I think it has more entertainment than the Christmas party. The fact that they're starting at August 25th this year is a little much for me. I don't know that I'm. I mean, it's technically closer to July 4th than it is to Halloween. Yeah. I said on Twitter, we're one Muppets movie away from having the greatest mashup of all time, a very merry, patriotic Halloween Independence Day with the Muppets and Mickey.
Right.
I think R2-D2 comes to that, too.
Yes.
I have to say I've done the Christmas party. It's been probably 7 or 8 years since I've done the Christmas party. Last year was my first year at the Halloween party. Y'all know how I felt. It did not go well. But I also said it was really age specific. I think my kids just weren't the right age for it.
That's fine, though. You can take them to see a short film.
For over $30.
You get a pin and you get your picture with the Headless Horseman, everyone's favorite character.
Well, Halloween people love that one. Couldn't even see the Headless Horseman this year, Halloween, because there were so many people watching the parade. I could just hear him going by.
But now you can get a picture with him.
I enjoy the Christmas party. I'm not going to, I will not dethrone Lynn Testa, but I will say that I had a better time. Personally, as an adult, I had a better time at the Christmas party than I did.
What's the price point this year?
No idea. 70s, probably 80s, 90s?
80s and up, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I haven't checked.
All right. So let's. So he says Halloween. I say Christmas. Wasn't there another part of that question?
It said, do the party activities only start at 7 p.m.?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll say like, hey, welcome to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas.
Eric, I think it's more like 7:30 or something like that.
Yeah. They'll welcome you at 7. And like at Halloween, at 7 o'clock, we walked in and it was, welcome to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. And then stuff kind of started. Other than a change in music, it all started a little bit.
And the real benefit of getting in early is being able to get your band and you're not waiting in any lines. You know, you're just kind of morphing into the evening. And so you're not waiting in a big crowd of people to get your wristband at the front of the park. And yeah.
Get some rides done. All right, let's move on.
Next question's from Justin. And he wants to know, when do fall AP discounts usually come out?
Fall AP discount. I usually check the Mouse Savers website for that. I don't have it off the top of my head, but Mouse Savers maintains a list of historical discounts. Just type in Mouse Savers historical discounts into Google. And
or Bing, if that's your persuasion.
Hey, people still listen to this on
Zoom. Or Alta Vista, or yeah, whatever you want.
Web crawler.
Lycos.
Web crawler. Gopher. Yeah, sure.
Ask Jeeves.
Jeeves don't know.
Jeeves Home Rentals. Which is what I used this last time.
Same company?
Different Jeeves, I think. All British, though.
Well, Jeeves is a British butler.
Well, but Jeeves is also, though, the people who work at Jeeves, the home vacation.
Are British?
Are British. It's a British company. Hmm. And like the guy who delivered my cribs, like, I'm here to pick up your cribs.
It's almost offensive.
I did feel a little weird.
All right, Jeeves.
He's walking up smoking.
Taking my cribs.
All right. Which again, and Jeeves doesn't sponsor here, but I had a pretty good time with Jeeves. All right.
Michelle's next.
Is that yours?
Harry.
Michelle Wooden wants to know, what's a good room at the Animal Kingdom Lodge for a standard view? Maybe a partial animal view.
Oh. Only partial animal, though. You don't want to see the full animal.
No.
Yeah, like the front half of a zebra.
Like TVG. We don't go full animal. We can't go full view animal. Upper male nudity only. All right. So a very specific question. A very specific room.
Standard room. Toggle aisle 39, 26.
Yeah,
it's always
I've
always, when I booked the standard, I've always gotten a partial animal. I've gotten an animal view of some sorts, and you just have to request. You can request just simply if you don't want to pick a room. You're given the option to choose Savannah View as a preference when you check in.
Yeah.
The head of the zebra.
The ones that like 355 – or sorry, 322 to 355, they kind of face – you know, it's sort of like a weird W shape or, you know, an elongated stretched H. But up to 55 sort of face another wing of the resort. But you kind of – if you stretch your – neck a little bit, you get to a little bit more of a Savannah view. Those are the ones I'd suggest. Upper floor, you know, is better.
All right.
Hopefully, so, like, yeah. You know, 22 to 55? Yeah.
All right. Well, we hope that helps you. I have no knowledge of this, so I defer to the experts. That's going to do it for this week on WDW Today. A special thanks to our sponsor, Circa 1955, a great candle subscription company. Go to circa1955.com to subscribe to that service right now and let them know that you heard about it here on WDW Today. as well as our Patreon group and our Pod Cruise that we're going to be on, podcruise.com. Get your booking in now to, well, I like the way I said
get
that.
Get your booking in.
Yep, $50, fully refundable deposit to save your room on the Pod Cruise, which will be next March. But you need to do that in the next a little bit. If you're hearing it now, I just go ahead and do it. Podcruise.com. That's going to do it. This week on WDW Today, I'm Logan Sekulow.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we'll see you on the next show.